Today, we take a look at that commandment that tripped up the Apostle Paul, covetousness. Hi there. Welcome to today's broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Well, as we approach today's program, we come to the end of our series on the Ten Commandments. It is our final look at commandment number 10, you shall not covet. And really, again, as we have seen with all of the other commandments, there is much more to this than meets the eye, and it really is a heart issue. We invite you to spend time with us today as we explore commandment number 10. Here's Pastor Chris Gordon with a look at You Shall Not Covet, here today on this edition of Abounding Grace.
Well, tonight, if you're visiting, we're working through what we believe and confess together. And tonight we come to the 10th commandment, and we're going to say that together from in the Forms and Prayers book. If you have those, we're looking at the 10th commandment, and that is found on page 250. Page 250, Lord's Day 44. And we will say together three question and answers. I'll ask the question beginning at question 113, and have you to please respond with the answers after the questions. What is God's will for you in the 10th commandment? That not even the slightest desire or thought contrary to any one of God's commandments should ever arise in our hearts. Rather, with our hearts, we should always hate sin and delight in all righteousness. But can those converted to God keep these commandments perfectly? No. In this life, even the holiness have only a small beginning of this obedience. Nevertheless, with all seriousness of purpose, they do begin to live according to all, not only some, of God's commandments. Since no one in this life can keep the Ten Commandments perfectly, why does God want them preached so pointedly? First, so that all our life long we may more come to know our sinful nature and thus more eagerly seek the forgiveness of sins and righteousness in Christ. Second, so that we may never stop striving and never stop praying to God for the grace of the Holy Spirit, so that we may be renewed more and more after God's image, until after this life we reach our goal, perfection. Most likely I'll probably have another follow-up sermon on 114 and 115. The main focus tonight is 113, in what is God's will for us in the 10th commandment. And the scripture text tonight comes out of 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17, three verses there, which really does summarize well the intention of the 10th commandment. And this is what we read at 1 John 2, beginning at verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world, and the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. And there will end tonight the reading of God's Word. 10th commandment tonight, I think you see as we're going to look through this, shows the beautiful coherence to the entirety of God's 10 words to us. There was something very special when Paul was trying to make the case in Romans 7 about sin and that struggle in sin. When he was describing what it was like to be under the law, he could have really chosen any commandment. And the commandment that he chose to illustrate that all are sold under sin was the 10th commandment. You remember he said that. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? No, the law's good. Law is not the problem. He said, on the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. And he goes on to say, for I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, thou shalt not covet. There was there was something about the 10th commandment that really proves to us the breaking of them all. If anyone thought, and James says this, if you break one, you break all the commandments. But if there was anyone who thought and came along and says, you know, I've done really well with the law. I've done really well in keeping the law. The 10th commandment makes sure the bus runs you over. In other words, the 10th commandment goes right to the heart. It gets right to the heart of the matter and shows us what's wrong with the human heart. And that's why tonight the approach of the 10th commandment is so important. The commandments, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not murder, are all outward actions we've looked at. Of course, we've gone further than that and showed the spirit of the law and the inward actions. But when it comes to the 10th, you'll notice that this particular commandment drives right into the human heart, doesn't it? And make sure we leave the study from the Ten Commandments saying, no one walk away saying, you know, I've really made the mark here myself in this life. Of course, it's a rule of gratitude for the Christian. This is what we call the third use of the law. It becomes a rule of gratitude. But you'll notice, even as we looked at in the question and answers, it's a law. As we hear this law and study this law, it continues to put us on our knees before the Lord so that we continue to trust Him and recognize our dependency upon Him every day of life. We cannot live this life without Him. Rich young ruler thought he could. Remember, he'd come to Jesus and had said he kept all the commandments to enter into eternal life. And then Jesus, of course, does the same thing as Paul in Romans 7, when he says, really? Well, then why don't you go and sell all your possessions and give to the poor, and then come and follow me? It was the command, the 10th commandment of covetousness that broke him, and he realized right then and there he couldn't do it as he walked away sad. This has been one of the great points in our study of the 10 commandments, that the heart is the mainspring from which all of the actions come. Jesus taught us that. It's out of the heart that proceeds murder, adultery, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. That's how bad the human heart is, and how contrary our whole society wants to tell us about the goodness of the human heart. By the way, you know this is true because the sort of common way that sinners define themselves is as good. You know the truth of the Bible because God says the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? No one wants to give that assessment about themselves, do they? It's been rightly said that the final commandment is like the rudder of the ship. Whatever way the rudder is directed, that's where the ship is going to go. That's a really good little comparison to help understand which way is the rudder directed. You can be sure that any time one has committed adultery or murder or theft or false witness, it all started with covetousness. It all started with covetousness. The man who lusts after a woman who's not his wife commits adultery, which resulted, of course, first in the fact that he coveted a woman who was not his own. The one who steals something from a store first set his desire on what he wanted to take, didn't he? The man who hates and murders in the heart and refuses to forgive first has envy in that heart, which is an emphatic form of covetousness. I like the example a pastor gave as I was reading through this, that the heart is like the boardroom of a corporation. From this room, all sorts of thoughts and plans are made that are then executed. But what goes on in the boardroom, no one can see. But soon enough, once the plans are executed, everyone knows what decision was made in the boardroom. That's helpful. That's what the human heart is like. You know, I'm not a fan of meetings. Meetings are cumbersome. There's always a meeting going on in the human heart. And that's where it all starts. It's a dialogue in the self. It begins to entertain something. It begins to think about something. And that's the heart tonight, an issue of the 10th commandment. And so we need to understand this commandment properly when it's understood that really it's a commandment about desire. Think of in our whole culture today, how much that people will say, as long as I don't do the outward action, the desires of my heart are okay. And the Bible and the scriptures and the assessment of the heart say it comes down to the great problem of human desire. This is the sense of covet. Well, the command could rightly be translated, you shall not set your desire on your neighbor's house, wife, all these things in life, anything that is your neighbor. So when we set desire on something that is not ours, the boardroom has already had a meeting, there's already a meeting in place, and the way of execution is soon to follow. That's the planning that goes on. That's what the heart does. It's like John Owen who said, sin that takes one step always takes another. So the commandment has everything to do with unlawful desire. It's really getting into the dissecting the human heart with desire and the execution of desire. One of the crucial passages that explains this is James chapter 1. It said, let no one say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. So how does this all happen then? Well, he says, each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it's like giving birth in a sense, and conception, that when the sin comes out, it's like giving birth. The conception is that desire when it's conceived. There's a conception there, he says. It gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's fully grown, brings forth death. Now, we can then look at the 10th commandment with that in mind and understand the course of action that occurs. The desire enters the boardroom, so to speak. The desire is in the boardroom when we entertain it. When we're enticed by something, and then when you entertain and are enticed by that, and you've coveted, the plan goes into action and becomes fully revealed outwardly in what is done. And if it's not stopped, and this is why sin is so serious, this is why sin, the Bible says, don't play with sin. And we all do it. This is not saying that we don't do it. We all do this. But when sin is played with, and when sin takes a root, and that desire is strongly there, and then it's built up into the heart, and it continues to be practiced, it leads to the hardening of that heart. So that then there's no, what the apostle will say, you have a seared conscience with regard to sin. And when that heart is fully hardened, and then you run off into sin, and sin fully grown destroys people. You don't have to look at that. You can just look in the world and see that. How sin destroys people's lives. So the 10th commandment becomes this great exposure of the breaking of all of the commandments. That's really why I said there's such a coherence to the law. It's beautiful. You could see the inspiration of the Spirit and how he crafted the law of God and what he did here. And it's helpful to look at what's been outlined. I think one little great story is the story of Ahab and Naboth. Remember his Naboth's vineyard. And remember, boys and girls, that story you've read in 1 Kings, let me just read a few passages from it so you see what this looks like in action. It came to pass after these things that Naboth, the Jezreelite, had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel next to the place of Ahab, king of Samaria. So Ahab spoke to Naboth saying, give me your vineyard so that I may have it for a vegetable garden. It means this sounds so goofy for a king to be saying that. I need vegetables, right? It's near my house. And for it, I'll give you a better vineyard. Or if it seems good to you, I'll give you money for it. But this tells us, you know, it's interesting. Ahab had all these palaces. And this one vineyard, who when he walked out on his palace there, he looked at this one vineyard that was really beautiful. And he started saying, I got to have that vineyard. Ahab wanted that vineyard. Now what Ahab did is he set his eyes on the vineyard. And then as that desire was conceived, it gave birth to all kinds of sin. In almost every circumstance, whatever does not belong to us always looks better. It's really a remarkable thing about the human heart. I'll come back to that. What is desirable? What's desirable is what we don't have. God gives us all kinds of good gifts to enjoy. And if we were always satisfied in them, we wouldn't always want more. We always want. Excitement lies in the thing that we don't have yet. John Boyce once said, the poor man wants many things, the rich man wants everything. We all have this problem. There's a difference between temptation and the practice of evil desires. In some sense, that looking out at the vineyard, the temptation came outside of Ahab, right? And what God recognizes, there's a fundamental difference here, that we avoid entering into all forms of temptation. That's his call. Temptation is not sin when it originates outside of us. Temptation becomes sin when we entertain and welcome into the boardroom a sinful desire of that heart, and then we act on it. That's the difference. Covetousness arises from a lust in the heart for something that will seem to provide more happiness. It will have a greater fill of pleasure for us. And that's the case here with Ahab. Ahab offers to buy the vineyard. Naboth says, the Lord forbid. This is the inheritance of my fathers. I'm not giving you my vineyard. So Ahab went into his house, sullen and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. He said, I won't give you the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid down on his bed and he turned around his face and he would not eat food. And what a pathetic little guy here. You know, he's crying because he doesn't have the vineyard. He knows he can't acquire the land. He knows the law. He knows he has no right to it. He sulks on his bed. The desire was so strong he couldn't get off his bed. Well, here comes the answer. Jezebel. What are you doing on your bed? I'll give you that vineyard. Since you don't have the courage, I'll go get that vineyard for you. Ahab did nothing. So, nothing to stop this wickedness from Jezebel. He signs a letter with his name on it, even though his wife wrote it. Resulted from one covetous desire from Ahab's heart. Jezebel has this great court case. She brings false witnesses in, infects the whole community of Israel to slander Naboth, something terrible. And what's the outcome? They stoned Naboth and murdered him. Wow. You mean from one little boardroom in the human heart, it led to theft, eighth commandment, murder, sixth commandment, blaspheme, ninth commandment. You see how this all weaves together here, all from the boardroom of the human heart. In short, the rudder of the ship with one covetous desire led to murder, theft, bearing false witness against his neighbor, and his heart bowed before a covetous desire, breaking the whole law, especially the first, the second, the third, the sixth, the seventh, the eighth, the ninth, the tenth. All in one swoop. Sin is so deceptive. You know, there's a reason every morning we have to get up and ask the Lord to frame our minds correctly in the life of sanctification, in the life of following Christ, in the life of leading a life. Because it just takes one little entertaining of a desire and your whole day
is filled with it.
That's what Paul was saying, for I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had said, you shall not covet, but sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. What that's saying there is, it's helping us understand how sinful the heart is. Things look so attractive because God said no. Anyone knows this raising kids? We give the law. We say, don't do this. And it's just astonishing how quickly it happens. That's the human heart. Jesus said, take heed and beware of covetousness. Luke 12. For one's life, ever thought about what it means? One's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. In other words, think about that very carefully. Life doesn't come from those things. Deadness comes from those things. No, God gives us good gifts to enjoy. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about living for these things. I can accumulate thinking it will satisfy, but my life will never be satisfied and will never be supported through the things that I desire. Think about that. It was the very first thing that happened in the Garden of Eden. Remember? God had said, you shall not eat of the tree. And Satan comes in. Oh, come on, look at it. Just look at it for a minute. Look at it. It looks really good, doesn't it? That tree didn't look any better than any other tree. But as soon as Satan, the law had come, and as soon as Satan had tempted, Eve began, remember what it says, listen to what it says. She saw the fruit, that it was pleasing to the eyes, and that it was desirable to make one wise. And then she took. That fruit became great because the desire was set on it. And what desires control the void of an empty heart? I think our Heidelberg is so great here that the will of God in the 10th commandment, think about this, that not even the slightest thought or desire contrary to any one of God's commandments should ever arise in my heart. Rather, with all my heart, notice again, we're right in the heart. Talk about heart religion. Rather, with all my heart, I should always hate sin and take pleasure in what is right.
Well, we are out of time today. We'll close today's program out. But look forward to seeing you next time we get together as we continue our studies here in God's Word with Pastor Chris Gordon here on Abounding Grace. Questions, comments about the program, we always are delighted when you take a moment and reach out to us. You can do so by email, questions@agradio.org. Again, questions@agradio.org. Now, that may be the address, but you are more than welcome to send along suggestions, comments, praise reports, prayer requests, not just questions alone. Again, you can reach us at questions@agradio.org. You can learn more about us at agradio.org. Also, listen to past radio programs. Again, that's agradio.org. Or call us, 888-504-8805. Again, that's 888-504-8805. We are also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Visit our website for those links to the platforms that you like to follow. Again, agradio.org. And then, as always, we are excited when our listening audience comes alongside of us financially, prayerfully, to help support the radio program. This is a listener-supported broadcast, and we are able to reach most of the United States as well as North Africa through your faithful partnership with us financially and prayerfully. We look forward to hearing from you and trust the Lord to direct you along those lines. Thank you so much for spending time with us. Until next time, God bless. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.